Students in America use technology and KCSB studios to cross the oceans separating them from students in Iraq to hold a conference call and cultural and political exchange with several students in Iraq, Baghdad. The call included high school and college students in Baghdad, students of architecture, a student who wanted to be a lawyer, and students of English translation. Coordinating the call in Iraq was Ramzi, a Muslim American peace activist. There are 7 students here in the KCSB studios. They're all peace activists, and many of them are students of Middle Eastern culture, history, politics, and religion. The whole conversation was a little bit more than an hour and a half, and this is merely selected segments of that conversation intended to give you a picture of what was said, but it's by no means the whole conversation. There was about a half an hour or so of introductions and somewhat innocuous questions. The students on both sides traded poetry and even the lyrics to a song by Waleed, who plays in a heavy metal or punk band called the Black Scorpions, who sing in English. Then the students here at UCSB wanted to know what the Iraqis are doing to prepare for the invasion.
But do you guys still get to do things as you normally have done during the days, like, you know, go out, have fun? I mean, do you feel like people are really affected majorly by this war? Do you still see, like, that you guys can enjoy some sort of a day?
Well, actually, we're kind of used to this stuff, the war stuff. So, yeah, personally, I live normally.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have to wait for the bombing. It's going to happen or it's not going to happen. I don't know. So I'm living normally.
Okay,
whether we bombed or not, we are going to live. We have to continue living and continue our normal life. Actually, I'm talking about myself. We spent the 45 days on 19 playing cards and listening to the radios, these things, living our normal life. And I'm here talking to you.
Great.
It's normal.
Alhamdulillah.
I think maybe struck by this question, the Iraqi students asked of the American students, can you imagine the impact of a second war in Iraq after the first war has already caused so much devastation there, and the sanctions for 12 years haven't reinforced that?
I want to ask you a question. The American government destroyed Iraqi people in 1991, and it's the reason of the death of million children, and steal the innocent smile from them. So can you imagine what happened if that would happen again?
Yeah, I think
I'm sure you can't imagine that, and I hope you won't imagine that, because believe me, there's no human on earth deserves to go in such feeling.
The next section of the conversation got difficult as some heavy issues like weapons of mass destruction and the liberation of Iraq were discussed. The students were especially insistent to know what Americans are doing to stop the war and why hasn't this peace movement succeeded. But before they talked about what the people here in America are doing, they had a short question about our leader, President George W. Bush.
And our president offered to make a live dialogue with Bush in front of all the people all around the world, just like the one we are having right now, and your president didn't agree for that. Ken, I know the reason of that. Why didn't Bush agree to having a conversation with our president?
Answer.
Go ahead. No, I'm waiting for the answer.
Well, two things come to mind. One is that this president, obviously, I'm sure you've seen, he's not an incredibly bright person, and he's also not well-spoken.
Yeah, you can say that again.
That's what I was looking for.
He's only given, I think he's given 8 live press conferences compared to, say, 50 or 30 to 40 as the average for other presidents. He's not a guy who likes to be in public speaking. I think the support here in America for war, I think, is contingent on a very strict control of how the war is presented or how the arguments for war are presented. And anything where he would have to kind of go ad lib and be confronted with serious questions, even if they are presented by Saddam Hussein, I think he just would rule that out immediately.
the whole conversation now is all about Saddam Hussein. Come on, guys. There are 26 million people living here. We are talking about 26 million lives of children, women, old men. And all you're caring about is government and Saddam Hussein. Do you think that all these people are going to die or to face their death or their destiny just because your president doesn't like to go in public or doesn't like to be convinced or doesn't like to hear any dialogue? Is it that fair?
We don't think it's fair at all. At all. I think...
What are you doing, guys, about that? What are you doing about that? You don't think it's fair. Okay, what are you doing about it?
I think, actually, most of us cry every day. Most of us, cry every
crying
day. But
and crying the long nights is not a solution.
You know, the tears won't wash the bombs away.
No, we
yeah,
really
well,
are...
For ages now.
I know, we're trying to find...
Crying.
We're trying to find everything we can. We're trying to find to do everything we can because we understand the suffering of humanity, especially what America has caused the world through studying and through having it in our heart. We realize how horrible, destructively war is, and America is going to do it to your people, and it hurts us like crazy. And we would actually want to know, what do you think we should do? We feel helpless. Just the same, we think this is one of the most horrible crimes. We think it's a crime against humanity. We don't know what we should do, yet we work on it daily.
Hey guys,
well,
this is
really
Anita.
That, but,
oh,
but,
can I just add to that? You were saying that
okay.
Our president doesn't want to talk, and you know, when he was confronted with Saddam, but I think we as students, the only thing we can do right now, that because our government won't listen to us really, is we're having this conversation with you guys, you know? We're trying to show you that we're willing to talk and we're willing to learn from you and we're willing to understand you, and we do understand you. And if our president is not going
to
talk...
The problem here is that we don't have time to let you learn and understand. Come on, hello, wake up.
But if there's no conversation between our leaders, at least there's conversation between people who are willing to communicate and who are willing to understand each other, you know? And hopefully the world will hear this, and maybe not this, but at least this city will, and people will get more concerned and, you know, will maybe change their minds and be more willing to do something about this, you know?
So as you can hear, again, the conversation was getting difficult and the Iraqi students were frustrated that they're going to be subject to bombing soon. The idea of liberation of Iraq was discussed next, but in a turn to this debate, usually, if there ever was a debate over this concept of liberation of Iraq, it got to a point where everyone agreed that the U.S. is a country in need of liberation. The Iraqi students said that the U.S. shouldn't have a right to decide their form of government and pointed out that Iraq has already thrown over a monarchy and that they would overthrow Saddam if they wanted to. But here one of the Iraqi students asks a question that the U.S. students have been asking themselves a lot lately.
So my question is, why war?
That's exactly what we're asking. I think if any of us understood why our government could make a decision that war is the best option, we could say something to you. Unfortunately, we all disagree so strongly that your question leaves us speechless in some respects because we can't answer why war. We don't agree with it. We don't understand it as the best option or any option. We feel like there are a lot of other ways that this could be going toward an end. And we're asking the same questions. We're asking why war.
I feel that Bush is being a dictator in this sense by not listening to us when we're begging for him not to go to war, and he won't listen to us.
And you guys are talking about democracy here?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. You're supposed to have a democratic system. I mean, come on, it's not working here.
You're right.
You have a problem in the system there.
The government's
lying. You're trying to give us something that you don't even have. You don't even have it life to have democracy.
Well, I think that we have a certain history with a democratic system. Our particular election 2 years ago was one in which the current president received fewer votes than another candidate, of course you know.
200,000 fewer votes, I know that.
Exactly. Right. So in a lot of ways, the people in this room believe that the president does not deserve to be the president right now. That said...
Why don't you do something about it?
I don't understand why you think we're not doing something about it. I wish you would stop saying that. It's frustrating for us because we believe that we are doing what we can. We understand that it's not having the effect that we would like it to have. But that doesn't mean we won't stop trying.
We're also just students. We're not soldiers.
It's not working. What you're doing is not working.
At this point, Ramzi, the Muslim-American peace activist who brought together the students on the Iraqi side, broke into the conversation and wanted to explain the tension and the urgency on the part of the Iraqi students and hopefully to diffuse a little bit of it. And soon afterwards, the conversation did turn back to innocuous questions.
And I think maybe some of the difficulty and where some of the frustration is coming from, I mean, let's face it, within the next couple of days, folks here are going to get saturation bombing in the city.
Bomb.
I mean, the Pentagon is calling it shock and awe. They're going to drop 3,000 bombs and missiles on Baghdad within 48 hours. They're planning on invading, overthrowing the government, violently overthrowing the government here, and these folks are going to have to try and live through that. And they've been listening to all the nonsense coming from President Bush. They've been listening to, you know, what Hans Blix has said, what France is saying, what Russia is saying, and the fact all these demonstrations, and the fact that none of it seems to matter. Within the next couple of days, this city is going to be massively bombed and invaded, and they are going to have to try and live through it. And they have not had a chance to say anything about that to President Bush or to anybody in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they all understand that you are against the war, that the group of you there at the radio station are against the war, and I think they do appreciate that you have been working hard to try and prevent the war, but it's not working, and these folks are going to have to live through that. Mm-hmm. I think that's where their frustration is coming from.
Well,
anyway, I'll turn this back over to the kids.
I have something important for you guys. Can you, by any chance or any means, broadcast this conversation to all the Americans?
We're trying.
By any chance.
Yes.
Because this conversation is from civilians tomorrow. Tomorrow, if you can. It will affect the American people and the government.
And indeed, KCSB did broadcast this conversation the very next day in its entirety. And on Wednesday as well, 3 days after the conversation. As I said before, there was a return to personal level exchanges at the end, including a song sung by the Iraqi students, and the American students in turn sung for them, a Nat King Cole song. Haidar offered to serve as the agent for one of the singers on the Iraqi side. There's also an exchange of jokes. I think the Iraqi students had the funnier joke, but there was a jokes exchanged. And then finally, Sunita on the American side summarized why she felt the call occurred and what its impact would be on her and probably the other students present on the American side.
Guys, I was talking to Leah, actually, and she gave the speech with students, and she asked them, you know, for those of you who are for war and who are not for war, it doesn't matter, tell us, why are you basing this on, like, do you know any Iraqi students there or any people there that you can, you know, associate yourself with? And it's really sad that none of us know any of you, and none of us know what your lives are like and what you guys do, and we can't relate to you in most of the things we talk about. So having this conversation, I really feel like I have some friends over there, and hopefully we can come and visit you guys one day, and we'll definitely try our best to do so. And we hope you guys come see us, too.
God willing.
Yes. Inshallah.
You are most welcomed here.
Thank you.
Shukran.
Yeah, you're welcome. You can come with Ramzi the next time.
Yes.
He'll pay for the
ticket. No, he's not paying.
Ramzi's a wealthy guy.
And so that's basically where they ended the phone call. I think both sides found it difficult to hang up and to end the phone call. They had actually reached quite an extraordinary level of intimacy during the call and were reluctant to hang up. The Iraqi students expressed their hopes that they'd be able to speak with us again. And the American students said that they hoped their children could play together someday. For KCSB Community News, I'm Keith Rosendahl.